Da-na-na football. Yeah, sounds good, feels good. Welcome to NFL Australia. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone. Literally, whoever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, I'll write for him, Gaz. That's how this goes. I'm down here in Chateau de l'Amour Studios in Lawn. Oh, bro, I'm on holidays. And the guy on the other side of this here iPhone, because my iPad just run out of batteries. It's all over. Shut it down. It is a bloke who has sold his soul to Aaron Rodgers, basically became a Packers fan to get the Eagles into the playoffs. He's wearing the green and gold. It's got nothing to do with Australia. It's sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He is my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. He's also the, mate of about 50 other Packer fans all of a sudden. So, Gaz, what's going on?
Fly, Eagles, fly. Playoffs, baby! Mate, if you told me this when I was screaming, you know, week 3 or 4 at this podcast, that I'm screaming at Nicky Sriracha, fucking run the ball! You wouldn't have thought at fucking 2-5 that I'd be screaming about playoffs, but here we fucking are, Jimmy. Here we are. And there's a lot of fucking weird shit happening this week.
Really,
making the playoffs is only one of them. So let's talk about it.
Well, I think both of our teams clinched this week, right? So
yeah,
it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Either way, we're going to wrap up week 17. It feels weird to say it. It felt weird all week watching it, going, wait, and my brain did about 87 skips, going, hang on a second. There's still another week. This is fucky.
Yeah.
Either way, we're going to wrap it up as best we can. I've got a bunch of tins. The in-laws gave me a weird look as I walked down to the other room where I record with about 8 beers under my arm. Either way, I'm going to wrap up last week. We're going to talk up next week, set you up pretty nicely. All in one dumb, drunken Australia package. That's what we do. It's 2022, guys. Happy New Year. How good's that?
Way.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is episode 42 of NFL Australia. Let's go. I've been broken. This is Antonio Brown, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. Week 17 in the bags. I did contemplate having John Madden introduce this week's show, because that is probably the biggest news out of like the last week worth of NFL. Yeah. John Madden sadly passes away. So this is the way we start every show on NFL Australia, with the old random thoughts. And what I really, really appreciate this sometimes about the NFL, they do, I think, lean into tradition and shit like that way too much, and like their own myth-making. But when it comes to John Madden, like, there's no way you can understate it, right? Like, you can just 100%. You can just keep fucking going, and I'm going to lap it up, because you hear that voice. It's like the first voices that I think most Australians would have ever fucking heard commentating NFL, right? Like, it's basically, I remember Madden Summerall from like broadcast when I was a kid, hearing that sort of stuff. Just every time they got to do a Super Bowl, whatever the fuck. And it did feel like they always had like the biggest games, basically growing up. It's like, cool. And then of course the game, Madden.
Yeah.
And so I reckon, what, 80-85% of us probably got into the NFL because of Madden at one point, I reckon, in Australia.
So, or at least learnt the game, right?
Exactly.
Like, how much more do you know about when they talk about calling plays and design and weak side, strong side, you know, pointing out the mic, like all that sort of stuff, learning players' names, because you learn stuff on other people's teams and stuff. And if you hear the legend of the game about, it was the first game that wasn't, you know, kind of about making it a video game. Madden was himself involved, not the guys these days who just put their name on it, like actually getting involved and wanting it a football game. And fucking awesome.
So he passes away age 85. He was a Super Bowl winning coach, one of the single greatest commentators in the history of broadcasting, and obviously lent his name to one of the single greatest fucking video games of all time. Like, that's a hell of a career, Gaz. So,
yep.
And from all reports, I mean, we'll get to this again later, but one of the great dudes, so.
Yep.
Bit sad, and it was nice to see the tributes. I mean, they had the outline of him up in the corner of a bunch of the games. Every different game had, like, a different tribute to him, which is really cool, so love that. Otherwise, I don't know. Mike McCarthy's a moron. What are the other random thoughts from this week? The Cowboys. I can't believe they didn't have a fucking timeout at the end of that game. We'll get to that. The Detroit Lions and the Jags. They're now confirmed as the top two in the draft. We don't know what order, though, yet, guys. A bit weird. A bit funky. Yep. We'll find out next week. The Giants are a mess. What a game that was. How's this for a stat, Gaz? It's a random thought. You and I combined actually had more yards passing this week than the fucking Giants because they had negative 10. That is awesome.
You're spoiling my game wraps, Jimmy, already. We're 5 minutes in.
Sorry, man. Jalen Hurts, your guy almost died as well. Holy shit. That was pretty gnarly. Just like half the stadium collapsed on Jalen Hurts like he's a fucking superhero and he emerged unscathed. The Rams got by with some Stafford, Beckham magic after Matt Stafford tried to give a game away. Classic Stafford. Jamar Chase, I'll tell you what. Muggins over here is the newly minted champion, back-to-back champion of his, 8-year running fantasy league because of Jamar Chase. He dropped a 55-piece for me. Saved a million other fantasy matchups. You'll love to see that. And Joey Burrows just threw his hat in the MVP ring out of fucking nowhere.
Fucking nowhere.
It was gnarly. He's thrown for 971 yards now over the last couple of weeks. Second most in a two-game span in NFL history. Arizona, they came out and proved that apparently they're still good. I believe you may have used the line last week, wasn't it? Like rumors of their demise may have been greatly exaggerated. Nice to see that. The Cowboys, on top of Mike McCarthy being a moron, they also lose Michael Gallup on a weird, twisty play where he scores a touchdown and also blows out his ACL.
Yeah.
Not ideal considering that he's a free agent as well this year. Holy
Correct.
Shit.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins in just an amazing surprise twist, Gaz. An amazing surprise twist.
Who would have thunk it?
Oh, fucking COVID Kirk Cousins. Oh, he got the cocoa. The trippy good times. I don't need to be vaccinated. And probably cost the Vikings a chance at a playoff spot. Let's not fucking mince words. That's what happened, you dickhead. Meanwhile, Atlanta, Washington, Minnesota, Cleveland, and Miami all out of the playoff race now, joining just about everybody else. There's only about, there's three teams into two spots, I think, in the AFC. NFC's, it's kind of weird because you've still got Baltimore floating around, not eliminated, Pittsburgh, etc. as well. But we've really gotten to the pointy end into the last week where it's a lot of seeding hasn't been salted away yet. And we've still got playoff spots up for grabs. So that's fucking cool. Yeah. I love to see that. And what else? Oh, yeah. We've got, week 18 still to come. Green Bay are the number one seed. Tennessee could be in the AFC. What do we got? We've got two winning-in situations in the AFC for week 18. Love that. And, Gaz, Antonio Brown had a full-blown fucking meltdown. What the fuck? Unbelievable scenes.
What the fuck?
And the cool part was stayed in New York and then went to the Nets game. That's awesome. Absolute scenes. So let's wrap all the games from this week, figure out what happened, I guess. Jesus. Felt like a long week, didn't it? Even though it all happened on the Monday and the Tuesday. So everybody sort of playing. There's a lot of games, but let's do it. Cincy, they beat the Chiefs 34-31. That's right. KC's win streak comes to an end. An absolute belter of a game, this. If you're going to watch anything, what are you doing? You should have already watched this twice. Like, it's fucking insane. KC jump out to a lead, and then Jamar Chase just goes, fuck off. And Joey B just starts fucking nailing shots to him. There's a 72-yarder at one point for Jamar Chase, and then another big one. KC get back up. There's 14-0, and then it was 28-17 at the half. We get to the fourth quarter. The Bengals take the lead. KC tie it, and there's just an insane throw to Jamar Chase from Joey Burrows down the sideline, 35 yards. It's an insane throw. It's an insane catch. And that basically wins him the game because I think it was a 3rd and 27. And he fucking nails it. It's incredible. And then they go for it twice. There's flags on each fucking play. They get a new set of downs on the second one. Since he rolled the clock down, Evan McPherson kicks the field goal. They win. Absolute fucking insanity. The Bengals win the AFC North for the first time since 2015. Jamar Chase ends up with 266 fucking yards, Gaz, with three touchdowns. That was insane. And I did actually have a couple of messages of congratulations of folks in my fantasy league who may have actually tried to pry Jamar Chase out of my my Ooh. sticky hands throughout the season. At each point, all the way through this season, I told him to get fucked. I may have looked like an idiot, you know, a couple of times in the last month when he had the you know, the 3 yard game, etc. But I, you know, stuck fat, and he came through for me in the end. And Joey Burrows, how's that? 446 yards, 4 TDs. What a win! Because not only do they get the sort of come from behind, fuck you, KC, like awesome fucking win at the end of the season to salt away the AFC North. To do it against the Chiefs is gnarly. To have two of your fucking amazing young guns just delivering the biggest of fucking situations is huge. And since you can believe for just one more second that this is awesome until it all goes down in a flaming heap because they're the Bengals and that's what happens. So,
yeah, anyway. Look, it was fucking great game because like it was one of those ones where I was really torn on a couple of games this week because obviously I had to watch NFC games that meant fucking nothing, right? But there's also ones that I'm seeing in the background going, oh, I really want to focus on fucking that. And this was when this was 30-31 apiece and you're just sitting there going, like you're getting down to the end zone, like they're fucking a couple of yards out and you're like, kick the field goal. And they go for it. And they're like, kick the field goal. And they're like, we don't want to leave Mahomes with a minute. Kick the fucking field goal.
It was insane. Then, it was so good.
It was fucking absolutely nuts. But even like Joe Burrow admitted that he goes, yeah, I've got to play it up. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, there was no route on that. I'm just like throwing it up and having Jamar just get it. And, but this, I think this is the amazing stat out of this is that now, first team, since he's the first team ever to have a 4,000 yard passer, 2,000 yard receivers, and 1,000 yard running back all under the age of 25. So they're in a good position for years to fucking come, right? Anyway, that's fucking rad. Let's move on to the first shit house game that I had to review for the year for this one. Giants 3 at Bears 29. What the fuck? How bad do you need to be to make these Bears, who don't want to win, who's fucking literally lame duck coach, who's just like living out the time. How do you fucking make these guys look good? The Red Rifle got the start over. It wasn't even Big Dick Nick. It was fucking the Red Rifle got this. And now Nagy's finding new and inventive ways to piss off the fucking Bears fan base because he's winning games when they should be playing for draft position. Anyway, the Giants are a fucking joke. We got that. But they've now scored one TD in 3 games, Jimmy. One in 3. And as you mentioned earlier, spoiling my thunder, negative 10 net passing yards, Jimmy. Negative 10. 24 for Glennon. They're now going back to the rookie next week. Because they have to, because Glennon hurt himself in this as well as Danny Dimes being out. So last week, anyway, if you're having trouble getting to sleep tonight, I would suggest highly that don't listen to your latest true crime podcast. Go and listen to the 11-minute rambling, ranting, bullshit Joe Judge answer that he gave at his post-game press conference to one of the reporters correctly asking, why should you be the one who's trusted to take this team forward? A week after, like 2 weeks, a week and a half after being told that, you know, Danny Dimes and Joe Judge are going to be back, but Gettleman's on the hot seat. It's full of BS and made-up stories that you'd fucking love, Jimmy, because he refers to the 2018 Pats, who won the Super Bowl, thinking that apparently all the coaches thought they were going to get fired mid-season. You're like, what? Fucking drugs
that
you smoke,
never
Joe
fucking
Judge.
Happened, Joe
never
Judge.
Never happened.
Why are you making shit up, you idiot? Shut
just
up.
Literally, you what? And it's just fucking waffling. Anyway, so move on for that. It was fucking horrible. The Giants are a joke. Apparently, they can't even tank because they told the Eagles that, you know, last year that you can't do that. You need to respect the game.
That's right.
Anyway, remember that?
Yeah, they're not losing on purpose. Remember, they're no, above
exactly.
that. Above
exactly.
that.
Fuck you, Joe Judge.
But yeah, you're right. Like, Matt Nagy is the gift that keeps on kicking Chicago Bears fans in the teeth, right? Like, it's like, you're going to get fired and all you do is just, like, you're fucking the Bears even more. This is incredible. Anyway, speaking of my team, my beloved Patriots, they kicked the shit out of the Jags 50-10. 50, guess. Woof. 50. Woofed. 50. That's a lot of points. I mean, it wasn't to be honest, like, this was a pile on in the second half. But I mean, it's exactly what the Patriots needed to do, and it was awesome to watch it. Like, I was just watching it going, ah, sweet. Because I just had that, you know, inkling of doubt. Going to this Jags, and we need to win this to clinch the spot in the playoffs at least. We still have a chance of winning the AFC East if Buffalo do us a solid and lose next week. I thought they were going to lose the Atlanta game. I'm going to get to that in a second. But Jacoby Myers in the end zone, you love to see that. My favorite thing about this game, like, you had basically the running backs absolutely tearing it up, right? You've got Damian Harris, you've got Ramondre Stevenson with a couple of touchdowns. Christian Wilkerson comes out of fucking nowhere with a couple of TDs. But I think the most heartening thing for any Patriots fan out there is literally just the simple idea of, like, the defense is like, oh, guess what? We're now healthy again and we're okay again, which is just like fucking a salve on your heart. I'll tell you, dude, did you get that salve for your heart? I'll tell you what, dude, it's pretty good on your heart. And because it was awesome. Like, the defense actually played awesome. They kept a hold of the interceptions in this game, which they did not the week before against the Bills. They intercepted Trevor Lawrence three times. And I'll tell you what, Gadge, coming out of every Jags game, we've covered this a couple of times this season, right? Every time you and I sit down and actually watch Trevor Lawrence play, you're kind of like, oh, yeah? Huh. Huh. All right. And you do wonder if it's coaching, if it's just the shitty team. But there's just not that. Like, he'll have a couple of moments where you're like, oh, I guess he's okay. But he's like, the ideal size is fucking wildly athletic, and it doesn't seem to matter. I don't know. Anyway, 7 touchdowns total for the Pats. Clinch the playoff spot, baby. You love to see it. That was awesome. They did what they had to do. Happy days. 50-10. We're in the playoffs. Love it.
Bam. Well, we're talking about teams in the playoffs. Transition smooth as silk. Eagles 20 went into the Washington football team, who put up 16 points. Eagles needed to win here and a few other NFC things to happen to Eagles to be a lock. But the first step was beating the Washington football team, who were also mathematically playing for a spot. But the Eagles started the way that they have the last 3 fucking weeks, and it was real slow and real bad. And fucking old mate European beer Heineken came out fucking running hot, and he was pretty hitting fucking everything for that first half. And they were without Antonio Gibson as well. So, look, I'm not going to lie, I was a bit fucking nervous in that first half. But look, Washington put up points on their first 4 drives, which scared the shit out of me a little bit. But the Eagles adjusted at halftime, as they have the last 3 or 4 weeks, and allowed only 80 yards in that second half, and no points, right? So they just ran over the top of them. With no Sanders and Howard a bit banged up, it was little nugget, Boston Scott. After beating the Giants last week, Boston Scott got himself a couple of scores, and Devontae Smith inched closer. I was hoping he needed it. He needed another 40 yards in the game to hit D-Jack's rookie receiving record for the Eagles. So you've got to think that he's going to hit that this week. Unfortunately, I wanted him to do it this week because it's the whole extra game thing makes records.
Yeah, 17 weeks, right? You know. Like, that's Cooper Kupp. That's my buddy Cooper Kupp.
Exactly, exactly.
Came out and said,
but
hey,
look, Hurts had an excellent game. Got some designed runs out, which is as a welcome for Eagles fans because he's been a bit on that ankle for the last couple of weeks. Good reads downfield, which is what you kind of want. But as we're going to touch on probably a number of times, the most memorable incident wasn't during the game. It was fucking afterwards as he's walking into the tunnel and a couple of players, fans, leaned on the barrier that completely collapsed. Fucking couple of inches or like further to the left, and that barrier and those people would have come down on Jalen Hurts, and it would have been fucking season over.
If it was literally walking on the left, like it would have hit him. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's insane.
But how fucking cool was it? Like, as in, how calm was he? Like, he just kind of skipped out of the way, went straight into picking up the people, and then the people, once they realized they were all right, put their arms around him and took photos, right? But seriously, FedEx Field is
the worst.
FedEx Field is a fucking disgrace, and in the offseason needs to be fucking burnt to the ground. We've gone through literally fucking sewage on people this year.
Cats.
Fucking nearly. Yeah. It's just fucking ridiculous. But the season's over for Washington, right? So now they can focus on finding a name and a quarterback and a fucking field to play on next year because they're a disgrace. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah, get rid of Dan Snyder and away we go. Buffalo, they beat Atlanta 29-15. Interesting aspect of this game. There you see, Gaz. I say Atlanta with 15. At halftime, they were up 15-14. I was feeling good at that point. I'm like, here we fucking go. The Pats are going to win the AFC East, you little ripper. Atlanta, they're going to play spoiler. And then, of course, Atlanta did what Atlanta does, and they shit the bed in just epic fashion and just all it all fell over completely. Ridiculous vibes. Like, watching Atlanta try to play offense in that second half was fucked. Anyway, the point was, this was a snow game. It's in Buffalo. I love a good snow game. So I'm watching this going, yes, give me more snow. Give me more snow. And Josh Allen goes left on one touchdown, goes right on the next one. And you're like, well, that's good. He's running in some touchdowns. He's not throwing the ball very well. Oh, God. That's another interception. It's another but they were running the ball okay as a team. And then they get to that second half, as mentioned. No more Allen touchdowns the rest of the game. But they ran over the top and were Devin Singletary and shit. So very, very smart way for the Bills to play it. They kind of like took all the shots Atlanta could give them and then went, oh, okay, yeah, now defense, we know what to do, right? And they're like, yep. And they shut them the fuck down. It was hilarious. Like, just inept. That's what Atlanta, that's the perfect word for Atlanta. And it's like been the word for them so many times this year, inept. But sometimes they can sort of just scratch through and just do some dumb shit and fuck up a good team. Unfortunately for me and every other Patriots fan, this year, this week wasn't quite the weird fucky Atlanta thing. But still, Bills, look, they clinched their playoff spot at least. They're that just one little extra step close to the AFC East title now. And I don't know, like for me to come out of this game though, watching Josh Allen play this game, I'm like, why the fuck didn't he play this way against us last week? And then you remember, you're like, oh shit, but I guess he kind of half did. If our defense had been like half awake, maybe yep. We get one or two of those extra interceptions and we win that game. But still, Buffalo took care of business in that second half. Well played. Good on him. Off they go to the playoffs and Atlanta, now Dunsky, out of it. So tough scenes.
It's still fucking weird to look at the standings and go, how the fuck did Atlanta get 7 wins?
7 wins. They beat everybody worse than them and didn't beat anybody better than them. Like that, just so you can almost go 500 in the NFL if you just do that.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So the next game that had some implication for me that I gave a shit about, and one of the ones that I was watching concurrently, was the Texans. I can't believe I said that. First time ever this season I've said about watching a Texans game. But the Texans, 7 at 49ers. 23. 49ers needed this to keep winning, to get ahead, to keep in that race for the playoffs. And we needed them to win, strangely, because of the way the fucking three-way tie works. Sure. If the Eagles ended up on a three-way tie with the Niners and the Saints, we needed them to win, strangely. But Jimmy G out with that thumb of his, and Trey Lance gets the start with the playoffs on the line. This is the storybook moment, right? The fairy tale moment of getting your rookie who's not been able to break in. He takes over the role, and then he's your guy. Didn't start that way, Jimmy.
didn't start that way. Didn't feel like that way the entire fucking game. This was crazy.
It was real fucking slow. It was a slog, right? And there was a bit of finding your feet in the beginning. And the Texans actually went into this 7-3 at the half. I can't say based on those. There was a lot of offense in that first half. But look, Trey settled in that second half, finding Ayuk. And Debo just keeps doing Debo things, right? For nice chunks and ending up with 240, a respectable 250 yards and two TDs. Kittle only had one catch. Well, clearly, he didn't buy Trey Lance a Christmas present because he got one catch. But it was this fucking epic 29-yarder when they were trying to salt the game away.
Yep.
And so that was whack. In a weird case of that three-way tie, if they had have lost but then beat the Rams next week, that actually was worse for the Eagles season than them winning this week and losing next week. So the 49ers are in a really weird position that if the Saints beat the Falcons and then the Niners lose, they will all finish on the same record, but the Saints will take over that playoff spot. So the Niners will be out even though they won one of two. So weird, but that's the way the NFL works these days.
Yeah. I mean, this game wasn't convincing at all. So I was like watching this you know, I've got Niners mates back in the States, and they weren't feeling good about this game at all. And like halfway through the fucking game, they're just like, oh God, oh God, ah, losing their shit. But either way, they pulled it out. Trey Lance, I don't know, Gaz, if I'd traded up to number three to get him, I wouldn't be feeling great about my tenure as GM, I'm just saying. Anyway, the Rams, they beat Baltimore and Baltimore in a hilarious, weird, fucky game, 20-19. I don't know how much of this one you saw, Gaz, but wasn't great. Holy no. Shit, the Rams. So no Lamar, Tyler Huntley goes out there. Somehow the Ravens blew this. They were obviously, look, the fact that they're still in contention for
I thought they had it for most of it. For most of the game.
They literally had it until like the last fucking minute, basically. And I mean, it was just a weird sort of fourth quarter where the Ravens are playing third string as essentially most of their defense at this point. But had they have won this, they would have still been right there in the thick of things in the playoff race, obviously. Yeah. The Rams, though, look, a 7-yard touchdown pass to Odell with 57 seconds left. Like, it came after, like, probably the best throw, like, of the Rams season, which was, like, a tiny little pass on a 4th-and-5 to Odell. And that was it. They went for a 2-pointer. They didn't get it, whatever. But the Ravens, the craziest part about their last little bit of the tiny amount of time they had left in the fourth quarter was that they couldn't get into field goal range. You're like, how is that possible? You've got Justin fucking Tucker.
Justin fucking Tucker.
You should just be able to get to like your own 30 and just give him the ball and like have a ping. So I just, I'll just kick an 80-yarder for us, bro. But
Just throw it to Andrews. Andrews every fucking time. Anyway, every right? time.
Every
just
time.
Give it to fucking Andrews.
But Stafford really tried to Stafford this one up. A couple of picks, a fumble, like the back-breaking fumble. It was all just a bit fucky. And we're just kind of coming out of this game going, wow, the Rams did not convince me in this. Like, you should be able to take care of... It's a West team going east. We always know that to be weird. But the Ravens, like, their D is so bad. And the fact that Stafford looks so sketchy. I will say one thing, though. I feel like for Stafford, it's good to get this game now rather than in 2 weeks' time when you're in, like, the fucking playoffs and he just shits the bed. So you'll take it. That's 5 straight now for the Rams in just, like, wild fashion. Odell's just knocking down TDs. That's his 5th in 7 games. Cooper Kupp, I mean, you know how I stand about him winning a...
Your mate. winning, your fucking mate.
Even being in the MVP conversation, I hate it, but fucking hell. Over 100 receptions, over 1,500 yards, over 15 touchdowns. That doesn't happen. So he's been amazing. He's been awesome, and he's done it in a regulation season already, right? 17 games. He's awesome. He's great. I just can't stand a dude named Cooper. Then the Bucks. So that was an awesome game. Comes right down to the last play. Same, well, last basic drive for the winning team. Same goes for this game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the New York Jets 28-24. What a fucky game this was, Gaz.
What a game.
Jesus. Where should we start? Should we start at the... Antonio Brown just, like, flips his lid. What is it? Halfway through the third quarter. They're down 2 scores at that point. It's 24-10. And AB just goes fucking ballistic. Takes off all his shit. Mike Evans is basically there trying to, like, calm him down. AB just goes, nah, I'm Antonio Brown. Blah, 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 blah. Off he goes, Tasmanian devil style. Throws all his shit in the crowd. Fucks off. In the middle of the game. I'm just like, I'm out. I'll see you guys later. And boom, Tom Brady, they get a, what, Cameron Brate touchdown right after that.
Yep.
And then the defense just sort of goes, oh, we better step up here. What do you reckon? They stuff Zach Wilson right there, 4th-and-2 at the 7. They absolutely smash it. Like, they get that. New York probably win this. Like, holy shit. And Robert Saleh after the game is just like, yeah, I mean, we fucked it. And it was just like such a crazy, like both he and Zach Wilson both thought, like, yeah, we fucked it. Like if we just handed it off to Braxton Berrios, like it's the game's ours. Instead, they fuck it. They get Zach. The ball goes back to Brady. There's 2 minutes left and everyone's like, oh, I've seen this before. Oh, geez, don't give Tom Brady 2 minutes. Guess what's going to happen? And guess what happened,
and
Gaz?
He fucking does.
Guess what fucking happened? A 93-yard drive in like 9 plays and then boom, finishes off with, admittedly, an absolute fucking barn burner of a pass and catch crazy. By Cyril Grayson, 33-yarder for the TD. The two-point conversion goes to Lev Bell, puts it out of their field goal, fucking hands, and boom. Absolute incredible fucking finish. Like, in fucking a weird game in New York, Tom Brady owns the Jets, we all know that, but they were literally within, like, a couple of fucking yards of losing this game. Like, it's fucking insane.
They fucking had him. Ugh. It was so ridiculous. Like, I'm watching it. Like, it's one of those ones that I kind of had off to the side. There's a couple of extra things in that. One, there was, I've heard it, you can maybe confirm this because you'll know more about this than I do, but it was something really fucking weird, like the Bucks were nearly without two of their cornerbacks because something weird and fucky before the game happened with like the plane, that like their plane got cancelled or something, so they nearly missed the game. Then there's the add-on bit that AB not only left the field and went and hung out in a room, he fucked off in an Uber. Like, he left, called an Uber, and the Uber driver's gone viral because he's posted a video of listening to like AB's next fucking hip-hop track.
His new single.
Like, it just... The story gets weirder and fucking weirder every time. And if you haven't, if you've lived under a rock for the last 2 days, man, go to the fucking, I posted it as it got done, like kind of posted on the Facebook, the NFL Australia Facebook. But what a fucking weird game. So, like, you would have thought that, oh yeah, the Bucks are going to, you know, the playoffs on the line. They're just going to kick the shit out of the Jets who've got nothing to play for.
Yeah. But, I mean, the weirdest part was, like, after the game as well, so AB fucks off, and we get the, yeah, he's out, what the fuck, like, from Bruce Arians, and Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady both sort of talking around it, going, yeah, you know, AB's AB, and we're just here for him, and we should all be there for him, or whatever. It's like, I hate this shit sometimes. Yeah, so the Kyrie Irving corollary, right? So it's like, oh, you know, we're just here for him, whatever. I hate it. Because if they're not there for you, sometimes you've also got to be like, yeah, he's kind of a dickhead. Fuck him. And I feel like that's better for everybody maybe at some points, but what can you do? The vibe of the after game, like the fact that of the matter of the Bucks not actually waving him yet, Gaz, is always a little bit sus. Kind of, because that's a little bit Tom Brady just throwing his weight behind and going, oh, we're not going to cut him, are you? You're not going to cut him. The thing is, and I guess we should just do this right now, right, is the simple idea of, well, he was in line, right? So if he has a specific amount of catches, some more yards, and hits these targets, basically it's like $333,000 worth of bonuses built into his contract, and they were very seemingly about to sit him for the rest of the game, so he didn't hit those bonuses. So every time a player says, oh, it's a business, oh, it's a business, oh, it's a business. Yeah, motherfucker, it's a business. And guess what? They're not in the business of making you richer if they don't have to. Like, it's really simple shit like that. So once you realize that, you can't fucking spit the dummy. If all you've done over your entire career is go, it's a business, it's a business, it's a business. You have to act like a fucking businessman, motherfucker. Like, you don't spit the dummy, lose it, and fucking, like, the squid... He just turned 3. He has never fucking lost it like that, I reckon, more so than Antonio Brown did. Like, he's a 3-year-old. He can control himself a little bit better. It was fucked. Hilarious.
It's really fucking
what are you
weird. There's completely... There's obviously, it's going to come out in the next bit because there's so much already swirling around this one event, right? And don't get me wrong, it's something that no one's ever fucking seen. But there's the contradictory stories that's... The message coming out from so-and-so insiders that are probably AB's brigade that saying AB has said that he was injured and was not feeling it and blah, blah. And Arians and the team were like, we're going to put you back in. We want you got to go in. He's like, no, I don't feel up to it. And they've gone, well, if you don't go on the field, you're off the team. And he's gone, well, fuck yeah. Then there's the other side that saying, well... He wanted to be benched. Oh, so we're going to bench him so he didn't hit his numbers, but blah, 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 blah. But the difference is, this came in a couple of podcasts this week, was that back when they picked him up and that Arians came out and said, oh, you know, he's on like thin ice, one thing, and he's off the team. That was when they already had fucking Godwin and Evans and fucking Gronk and Braid and fucking they picked up Lenny and all of these fucking things. And he was just a nice little piece on the side, right? Just the bonus. He was the dessert. He was the, like, I can have that after. I can have that shot at the end, or I could not have that shot at the end, right? I'm all right.
It's
right?
A dessert. What is it? A dessert?
It's an aperitif.
Aperitif. That's it. It's a dessert aperitif.
Help the main meal go down, right? Whereas now they fucking need him, right? They've lost Lenny. They've lost Godwin. They're fucking all these players that, like, yeah, fuck, we kind of, this is probably not the right time for this to happen.
Yeah.
Particularly going into a playoff campaign where they've been less than convincing. They fucking were losing at the time.
Yeah, to the Jets.
And it all went down. They were losing to the fucking Jets. So this is, so this doesn't work for either party, right? But anyway, it added a little bit of spiciness to a game that we thought was going to be boring as fuck, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. There's another
moving on.
Tennessee kicked the fuck out of Miami 34-3. It's the Tannehill revenge. I love a good revenge game. It was also a mud game out there in Nashville, middle of that fucking field, looking pretty muddy. But this was basically just the case of Miami fumbling, jumbling away their season. They win this. They stay in the playoff race. They lose this. They're out. That's what happened. You actually literally had Tua fumbling and jumbling. You had Foreman running and stunning. I'm doing my best Walt Clyde Frazier here, if you listen to any New York Knicks broadcast. But it was 17-3 in the fourth. So I'll tell you what, that's where it went all a bit fucky on everybody, Gaz, because they doubled that score. Tannehill was just like darts everywhere. And they just ran over the top in the end. It was pretty funny if you're not a Miami fan. And it's funny if you have mates who are Miami fans and you're a Pats fan and they just got knocked out of the playoffs for the 18th time in the last 20 years. That's right. They made the playoffs twice in the last 20 years. I may have sent the chart of that to my Dolphins mates. So, look, I'm nothing if not a gracious winner, Gaz. You know that. But either way, the Titans win the AFC South for the second year running, which is like one of those weird ones because it's like the AFC South and the NFC South, I think over the last decade or so, there's like very little consistency in who wins it year to year to year. So the fact that the Titans have won it back-to-back is pretty gnarly. And, of course, they're sitting pretty because they're in the number one. But, I mean, they just stepped up. They kicked the fuck out of Miami in this one. Miami just looked inept. And you can sort of tell sometimes with Miami, especially earlier in the season, right, when they kept losing all these games, it's like, oh, shit, this looks like the team that I saw in, like, week seven. Like, and they just looked inept. And, boom, they got fucking shit-pumped by Tennessee. So there
There's a fucking weird great part of this, like this part of the season is like when records are kind of being broken and things are happening and like stats are being, you know, realigned and like people you don't usually hear from will come out and be a bit chirpy. And that was Dolphins fans this week. Oh, you know what? Where this is the first time ever that a team's lost seven in a row and then won seven in a row in the same fucking season. Yeah, but who did you beat? Who the fuck did you beat? And then it's come out this week and it's like, oh, Tennessee, a real team's going to come back. And the scary thing is, Deza Henry's going to practice this week. Right?
I mean,
AJ Brown came back a couple of weeks ago. And you're like, oh, wait, this Titans team may still have a bit left.
Yeah, we'll talk about this a couple of times, I think, later in the show. But Jesus, I think they might be good, Gaz. Yeah, just saying.
Yeah, they're not bad, you know. Tannehill, he can't do it. He's not the guy who's going to do it himself, but put a couple of weapons around him. Anyway, look, in terms of games, that doesn't seem like there were many games between teams in the same conference that are both playoff guys this week, but this was definitely one of them. The Cards 25 went into Jerry World and knocked off the Cowboys 22. One of the big games from this week, obviously, we wanted to find out, can the Cards stop their slide from the last probably month? And after slaughtering the football team last week, that iffy couple of weeks of the Cowboys offense, is it back? And the short answer is, in order of those questions, yes and no. Right, so, look, Arizona played with the lead the whole fucking game. Kyler was spreading the ball around like he was a month ago. They've still got, like, to get healthier, there was an expectation, a kind of expectation that Connor would be back this week. Didn't make it, but that's another little piece to add to the Kyler wagon. And meanwhile, the Cowboys' offense spluttered, and like Dak looked skittish. total of 45 yards on the ground. We were blowing them up about, you know, Dak scrambling again and the 1-2 punch of Zeke and Pollard. And Zeke put up 16 yards, Jimmy. I think that's the lowest total of his entire career. 16 fucking yards on, I think it was 9 carries. And Pollard put up, like, single digits. Like, what the fuck? So they put up 45 yards and 20 of those was Dak. Which is fucking crazy.
I also, and like, I feel like there was, like, about 3 runs, I reckon, of Zeke's that I saw. They got called back because of penalties, though. And
yeah, there was something like four third down conversions got called back from holding penalties.
And it felt like it, right? Like, the Cards and the Cowboys all year have been, like, the two teams where... You're just like, oh, fuck yeah, penalty, fucking, yep. Oh, god damn, another penalty. And so, like, the weird thing is, like, you did see Zeke rip off a couple of runs, right? But they all just got fucking called back because there was a hold. And to be honest, most of them seemed pretty fucking obvious too, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was brutal.
And to be honest, if it wasn't the hold, would he have sprung that fucking run in the first place? But I guess the big story for that, we've talked all fucking year and into the preseason about that three-headed receiving monster. You know, Wilson's been coming up a little bit, but really it's come down to those three-headed monster. And Gallup went down, right? Who's been a bit of a deep threat. They try and isolate him on the outside, and that will fucking hurt coming down. And as you said, you got to feel sorry for the dudes who... Look, he had one regular season game left and he's a free agent this year. I'd fucking take him on the Eagles to go opposite Devontae. Fucking in a heartbeat.
Patriots as well in a heartbeat. Fucking
yeah. But now that you've got that fucking ACL kind of hanging over you, of all fucking things.
It was so innocuous. I want to punt. Like, it's...
The non-contact ones are always fucking...
Because all he did was sort of like go up to twist and like catch it. But his foot sort of planted... His body twisted, and the lower half of his leg sort of just took like a split second too long of a plant to twist, and like it fucking sucked. And like even the commentator's like, "Oh shit, he's still down." Like that was a touchdown. What the fuck has happened? It's like, oh god,
yeah,
it was brutal. Anyway,
yeah, yeah. Look, this game somewhat as close as it looks in the final scoreline, and it was close at the end. Like the Cards were 11 points up with 4 minutes to go. Game somewhat came down to fucking Mike McCarthy clock management again. And the funny thing is, this isn't in my notes, but it was something that just popped in my mind. Fucking Jerry Jones came out this week and said that Mike McCarthy is the point of difference in this fucking team. I'll touch on this later, but I met a big group of fucking Packers fans this week, who will fucking argue the difference? Mike McCarthy is the difference maker about why the Cowboys might be this year. But it was his clock management again. So look, Dallas went down the field, scored, converted the 2 to make it 3 points with, I think it was like four and a half minutes to go. Arizona were running down the clock and staying in bounds, doing a good job of it with like 2:09 to go. The ball popped out of the runner's hands and the runner was ruled down by contact. Problem was, Jimmy, the problem fucking was, it's Mike McCarthy. And of course, he's got no timeouts left with 2:09 left when he's going to need a challenge. So he couldn't challenge the fucking ball. 2-minute warning.
What are you doing,
see
Mike?
See you fucking later.
Mike, what are you doing?
See you fucking later. 10 seconds later, literally 10 seconds later, we would have been under 2 minutes and it would have been a booth review and happy days. Cowboys would have got the ball back, got it back into field goal range, and at least put this into overtime. But no, Mike McCarthy just copped it. And look, the funny thing is, they've won the division. We'll get onto scheduling later, but the NFL was very smart and have now flexed this game into the Saturday window. Because that means the Cowboys still, in their mind, think that they can play for the 2 slot.
Yep.
Whereas if the Rams and Tampa Bay and Cards had all played before them, they'd have nothing to play for and be resting everyone. Where Mike McCarthy's already come out and said, we are going to play everyone to beat these Eagles. Funny thing is, Eagles have nothing to play for. Yeah. And Gardner Minshew is going to get the start this
week.
Let's
fucking go.
Let's go.
Love it.
Moving on.
It was such a wild game as well. Like, so, weird. You know me with the squid. So... 3-year-old, he watches a lot of the NFL with
me. Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. He fucking loves the Angry Birds. So we were sitting there watching this game. He's like, Angry Birds, Dad. I'm like, yeah. He's like, who are they playing? Who are the white and blue guys? I'm like, they're the...
America's team, son. America's team.
they a Dallas. He's like, what's their name? I'm like, the Cowboys. He's like, Cowboys? I'm like, no, you settle the fuck down and get back. Get it? No, you're not going to be Cowboys. Go for the Angry Birds. Fuck the Cowboys. Yep. He's got like, for Christmas, he got like a whole bunch more of the Toy Story cast toys and shit like that. So he's like cowboy fucking mad at the moment. But anyway, I think I managed to head that off at the pass, to use a bit of nice. a bit of Western parlance.
We could be friends. I would not be able to talk to your son when he gets older. Yeah. I would not be able to take him to the pub when he's 16.
That's right.
If he was a Cowboys fan.
He's going to be a fucking Cardinals and Tampa Bay fan at this point anyway. So.
That's all right.
Anyway, Raiders, they beat Indy. This was awesome. This is such a... There were so many weird shit games and there were so many weird fucking close games this week.
You didn't expect to be, right?
So this was crazy. The Raiders go into Indy and beat them 23-20. Colts had 10 yards of total offense in the first quarter. Wentz was shitting it. Despite that, you sort of got down to the end of the game. You're like, I feel like the Colts are going to be fine. Like, Wentz pulled a fucking touchdown out of his ass, throwing in double coverage to T.Y. Hilton. Basically, the Raiders defenders run into each other, spill the ball out the back, and T.Y. Hilton's just waiting there going, oh, yeah, thanks, and catches the fucking ball. Touchdown. They take the lead. But, I mean, like, the Colts just couldn't get out of their own way where they get a car interception and then just don't convert it into any points, right? There's a Wentz sack on, like, a third down. They have to punt again. And it comes all the way down to like Michael Badgley like tying the game up, 2 minutes left, and bang, Derek Carr gas. Derek fucking Carr drives the field, gets him to a point where Daniel Carlson's just like, yeah, I can kick that, no problem. So I'm Daniel fucking Carlson. Look at the size of my giant fucking balls. All I do is kick game-winning fucking field goals, dickheads. Boom, kicks a fucking game-winning field goal. Off you go. They beat the Colts. You love to see it because fuck the Colts. So now the Raiders have won three straight. Somehow, after the year from hell, literally, where one of their wide receivers, like, horrifyingly kills a lady, their fucking coach fired, because he's, like, out there fucking shouting out homophobic, racist bullshit in emails. They go into a tailspin. The Fakasha Rick Bakasha, what's his name? Fuck, I can't even remember. I just call him the Fakasha anyway, right? Bisaccia? Bisaccia, there you go. And somehow get like I think they're six and seven, and I now believe they're the 9-7. They've just like pulled out three wins out of their ass, and they're still within a fucking playoff spot. It's insane. It's crazy. So now both these teams, it's weird enough to sort of think about that they played this week. If Indy had have won this, like, none of this fucking craziness for next week would have happened, right? Like, but now, because of Indy losing, if Indy beat the Jags next week, they have to beat the Jags. If they do that, they're in. If the Raiders, they now play against the Chargers, who are on the same fucking, like, record as they are, the Raiders have to beat the Chargers to get in. My favorite part is, if Indy lose, guys, the Raiders and the Chargers play each other. If they just knelt 15 times each and got to a tie, they would both get into the playoffs. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That's it. Because it would be the funniest Sunday night football moment in the history of the fucking world, right? If somehow the Jags shit the bed and lose and the Raiders and Chargers both realize, if we tie, we both get in. Guys, do you just want to kneel it out? And Sunday Night Football would be all kneels all the way through. Holy shit, I would love to see it. Anyway, but yeah, Indy really fucking missed a trick here. And it felt like a weird one. Like, Wentz was very inept. I keep using this word this week. Inept. Like, Wentz, there were moments where it's like, ah, oh, we've got this. Jonathan Taylor would, like, rip off a run. You're like, ah, the Colts are going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win. They're fine. They're better than the Raiders. And then they didn't win, which breaks my fucking heart when Indy kicked the shit out of the Patriots. And here we are having the Raiders fucking beat them.
So fucking weird. Because like last week I had a conversation with a couple of people where I'm like, it was about who's the most dangerous wildcard team. And look, like, as much as I talk up the Eagles, I think we're going to be one and done. But you can run into good matchups, right? I was convinced that we were going to play the Cowboys, and we are right now, we are a very bad matchup for the Cowboys. They're going to kick the shit out of us. Indy, I've been talking all week about they're probably the one of the most balanced wildcard teams because they've got a fucking great running game. They've got a good defense, and Wentz just has to not fuck up, right? But this game, he was just kind of a little bit less 2017 Wentz, a little bit more 2020 Wentz,
yep.
And that isn't what kind of they need. And if you're coming in as a wild card, you kind of need to not be given those fuck-ups,
yep.
Right? Like, anyway, not great. All right, moving on. The next one that actually had some implications, so I did give a shit about this one. Panthers 10 at Saints 18. Wow. this actually had playoff implications because of the Saints giving a shit, right? They need they're probably the lowest of those three in that tiebreaker, so they need to win out. And their next two games are against division rivals. So they need to win everything. I was watching this because I thought the one that would impact us more would be the Panthers beating the Saints, and that was something that we needed. But I could tell you what, Jimmy, before halftime, I started focusing on the Niners game because this was a fucking shit show.
Oh, yeah.
It was real bad. It was defensive play. If you're a big fan of defense, this is a game to watch. And the Panthers D kept them in it for longer than it fucking should. What I've got a question, Jimmy, and I don't know whether I asked this at the time, but I definitely asked this online to one of my Panthers mates. How the fuck did the Panthers give up anything, let alone draft picks, for Sam Darnold? How the fuck did they give him up? Because right now, all I saw was a guy who held the ball too long, who was sacked 7 fucking times, and then when he did have time, had no idea where he was going with the ball. He was just, I just don't get it. He started 7 for 7 or something ridiculous like that, and still only ended up with like 120 something yards, like 90 net yards they ended up with. No TDs and a pick. I'm at this point, I can't believe I'm ranting about the Panthers. Why should I give a fuck? But realistically, I really feel sorry for Rule. Like there was in some of the online, Facebook groups, it's about who's most at risk outside the obvious of Nagy and Zimmer and what coaches are at risk. And people have said Rule, but I feel fucking sorry for him this week because a report came out that the owner is embarrassed by the contract that they gave him. 2 years in, they're fucking embarrassed that they've given him so much money, and I think it was a 7-year tenure. But to work with, the GM, the front office have given him a broken Bridgewater, a washed up Cam Newton, and Sam fucking Darnold to work with. Like, how are these Panthers going to turn this around? Meanwhile, the Saints have got, they can't decide between Taysom and Simeon and fucking,
Jameis. Holy shit.
And you got Jameis, and Jameis is gone. Jameis is gone at the end of the year anyway, right? Like, he's a free agent. So when he gets back from injury,
yeah, Jameis is
back in the world of...
Jameis is Jameis's Irish cousin, so...
There you go. To be sure. Look, they're all in it, like the whole NFC South. And when you look at what... Matty Ice could be on the move as well because there's no point keeping him around, and he needs to go to a contender, not a rebuilder. The whole the scope of quarterbacks in the South is just going to be fucking crazy next year, right? And Tom's only got, Tom's there, but he's going to fucking play forever. But apart from that, like... The whole quarterback scenario in that division is just going to, he's up in the air.
Yeah, giving up picks so to go get Sam Darnold just feels horrible now, but I mean,
oh fuck!
If Russell Wilson,
I hoped they were getting the next Tannehill. Like, it's all clear what they were doing. They were just thinking
distress asset.
As Adam Gase, are we going to get what Adam Gase did to Tannehill, and we're going to like find a diamond in the rough, and we're going to look like geniuses? Fucking no, nope. Is the answer.
Yeah.
Nope.
Unfortunately, it's much more a Jared Goff situation than a Tannehill.
Exactly.
Anyway. Speaking of actual good quarterbacks, the Chargers, Jazzy Herbs, 34. They beat the shit out of Denver, 13. I don't know. Watching Denver just makes me angry all the time. Like, it's just because I hate Denver. Lovely city, beautiful city. Love the people, awesome people. Hate the Broncos, fuck them. Drew Lock can go suck a dick. This is a fun game early, then devolved into a blowout. 101-yard return. You love to see that. Andre Roberts, a yard inside his own fucking end zone. Boom, takes it the rest of the way. It was close then, and then it wasn't. It just fucking Herbs is awesome, darts everywhere, and Chargers just took care of it. Like Denver, again, let's just go there. Inept. The Chargers, obviously, it's win or go home this weekend. Kind of love it. Excited. Love Jazzy Herbs. Give me some more Chargers. Anyway, see you, Denver. Boom.
But did you learn anything more about
no,
the Niners
because,
and the Chargers?
No, because they're
from
both they're the same team. Like both these teams are the same team, right? We just don't know anything about the Denver Chargers, Denver Broncos, or the LA Chargers. Like they're both the same team. They can look awesome one week. They can look shit the next. They can beat anybody on their day. But other than that, like you can't trust them. So off you go.
Yeah, and getting back to that firing of the coaches online conversation. I don't watch. Obviously, I watch more NFC than AFC. But like a lot of Broncos fans calling for Fangio to be just giving the ass and Schumer to giving the ass and all that sort of stuff. Schumer, I get because he's been stale for a number of years, yep. Right? The Giants. It was fucking not working on offense. They were fucking terrible. Blah blah. Fangio is a defensive coach, and the defense has never been the problem in Denver. It's always, you've always felt for the last 3 or 4 years that they are just that quarterback away from being a serious contender.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be awesome when Aaron Rodgers is on them
Judy
next year.
Like, guys like,
next year,
yeah, well, that's it.
Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson on,
after someone.
Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers on the Broncos, they'll be fine. Like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, someone to pair with Jerry Jeudy, because with a good quarterback, that guy would be a fucking monster, 100%. Right? Anyway, moving on. Lions 29 at Seahawks 51. My first note from this word for word, Jimmy, is didn't watch this game, didn't give a fuck then, don't give a fuck now. Right? I did go back and watch highlights, and I did go back and do some sort of an analysis because it is important to someone. Mate, Tim Boyle got the start again for the Lions. Goff, like, can they bring him back? Like, is he just too expensive? They have to bring him back? But Jesus Christ, he hasn't shown anything himself. Tim Boyle's not shown anything in his replacement. So what, the Lions are just going to be doing more Lion things next year? He put up decent yards, but Boyle had 3 picks to go with it. The one news story that is positive to come out for the Lions is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He continues to be like 90% of their offense, it feels at times. As the rookie, he's put up 111 yards and a score. But the Seahawks. Fucking hell. So, look, a week after losing to the lowly fucking Bears, it feels weird to say that about the lowly Bears after they just kicked the shit out of someone this week. But this is in the worst Pete Carroll rusty season so far, possibly ever. Positives for them. Rashad Penny, all of a sudden, out of being nothing for the first two years, since he's been a rookie, all of a sudden showing that he might be a legit back. Another week of 170 on the ground and 2 scores. But Rusty. Rusty put up 4 TDs to remind the home fans of what he once was. In what could really have been his last home game, right? Like just as Big Ben did it this year. He's not this week. He's not retiring, but he could be on the move. It's hard to see him coming back in a Seahawks team that looks like it needs a rebuild. And he just had one more like kind of just jab at just going, yeah, I can put up 4 TDs when I'm having a good time. So yeah, look, he also remembered how to pass to DK. So that also probably fucking helped. So that was that game. I don't want to say any more about that game because it was no implications and fucking boring shit team. So let's move on. The best part of my week was probably yesterday, Jimmy. It was probably fucking yesterday. All right. So this is my last game of the week. And I hope that some of these guys, because I talked up the podcast while I was out there. But fucking Vikings 10 at the Packers 37. As a game, not fucking great. The best part of this game was the implications for the Eagles. For those who probably didn't listen or see me online, was Vikings lost, Eagles are in the playoffs. So how did I watch it? I went to the Great Northern Hotel in Carlton where there was a meetup of the Melbourne Packers fans and fucking watched it surrounded by, I reckon, 40 Aaron Rodgers jerseys. It was fucking great. There was just green and gold as far as the eye could see. It took them all of about 5 minutes to turn around and go, wait, there's an Eagles guy. I'm going to fucking burn that. Like, I got threatened to burn the Eagles cap that I was wearing within 5 minutes of being there, Jimmy. It was fucking great. I enjoyed it. The only thing that could have made it better was a Vikings fan turning up. That didn't happen. It was pretty much all Packers and me. But it was fucking great. Once I adjusted to being around that many people who followed Aaron Rodgers, and the fact that they realized that I was supporting them because it was of my benefit, I strapped in and like sunk a bunch of piss with some Packers fans, mate. Talked to a whole bunch of rad dudes. It was really, really fun. But getting on to the game.
To be honest, in your place, I would have just gone, hey, when the fuck was the last time you idiots won a Super Bowl? Oh, that's right, the Eagles have won one much more fucking recently, eat a dick, but whatever, you know.
To be fair, in my, so the other fantasy league that I'm part of that's not the, the NFL Australia one of our mates, I think it was Dan Longshanks, sent us a message going, you should probably remind them that Big Dick Nick has got as many Super Bowl rings
as
their number 12 and one extra vaccination.
Love it.
Anyway, so getting on to the game. Speaking of unvaxxed friend of the show, Kirk fucking Cousins, found his stupid face on the list and wasn't able to fucking make it back in time, funnily enough, for this game. And a sign of just how fucked this franchise is, Zimmer started journeyman, who's done nothing in his career, Sean Mannion, instead of their rookie, Kellen Mond, who could at least give him a crack.
Yeah.
Right? You were playing the number one seed. See what your fucking rookie's got. Unless, Jimmy, you don't think you're going to be back next year.
Yeah, hashtag spoiler alert. I think you don't think Callum Mond is any good, and I don't think I'm going to be back next year kind of vibe.
Yeah. Spoiler, it didn't go fucking well. So they seemingly couldn't move the ball in the first half. The Pack D just kept them in check, while Rodgers is on the other side just fucking dropping dimes over the top. Like, the early play, it was just like, I'm just going to put this one up. And it was straight in the breadbasket of Devontae Adams, straight over the top of like, oh, this game's going to go exactly how we suspected it's going to go. AJ Dillon had himself a day. What a fucking good 1-2 punch they've got now of Jones with Dillon. He had put up 60 yards and 2 scores. And this game pretty much, I was celebrating the Eagles making the playoffs at halftime.
Nice.
Like, this is how obvious this fucking was. Packers sealed up the number one. Aaron Rodgers is having fun. Aaron Rodgers will be calling it now. Aaron Rodgers will be back next year. He'll fucking turn his leverage on and go, where the fuck are you going to go? Jordan Love got in, showed a little bit of nothing. What are you going to do? Go back to the draft, or are you going to ride this wave of success and then you're going to pay me what I'm fucking worth? Oh, by the way, one more fucking thing in my contract. Fuck Jordan Love off to the Vikings. Right? I want him gone. I want to play him twice a year, and I want to destroy him. Anyway,
I love
that's
that.
Exactly.
I
how
love
it.
That's a that's an Outback Takehouse. That's what that is.
There you go.
last game of the week was Pittsburgh beating the Browns 26-14. I'll tell you what, this was uglier than Big Ben. This was an ugly game. 26-14. Somehow the Steelers threw 30 times in the first half for 79 yards. I don't feel like that's mathematically possible, Gaz, but it was. Thing is, it only got not much better. In fact, it got worse. Ben ends up throwing the fewest yards for the most attempts than anybody ever. Ever. Literally ever. The fewest yards of any QB with at least 45 passing attempts in a game. That's, he went 46 attempts for 123 yards, Gaz. You know how hard that is? 46 attempts.
I watched that game and it's not surprising.
No, not at all.
When you saw everything was like 5 yards from the line.
It was brutal. So Jack, the wee man, was watching this with me as well. He's like, Dad, are we playing this game? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he just assumed that we were playing it like it was a video game. And he's like, well, I will be the orange guys and you can be the black and yellow guys. I'm like, all right, fucking sweet. Oh, wait, I don't want that. Anyway, it was horrible.
I thought you were going to say, are we playing this game, meaning the Patriots? Because there was so many fucking drop passes from both teams in this game.
Tough scene. but this is the first time in NFL history QBs had 40 plus attempts and fewer than 150 yards and actually won. And a lot of that was to do, obviously, Najee Harris just like trucking dudes everywhere. Cleveland just were horrible. And I think that's what it boils down to, right? Like, TJ Watt was just the destroyer of worlds. Time after time, every drop back, it looked like he was getting a sack. It felt like there was five plays in a row, which is impossible, that ended up in a sack. Like, it was fucking insane. Like, it just didn't stop. It was more sack than my jocks. Like, that's how much, like, he was rolling. Like, it was sack after sack after sack. And, you know, they get, like, a crazy... Like, Baker just looked horrible. Cleveland, inept. I'm going to use the word again. Wildly inept. Couldn't do anything. Awesomely, I was playing Nick Chubb in my fantasy final. He couldn't do much. Fantastic.
They just didn't give him the ball.
They didn't. Like, it was weird.
Why are they still... Baker threw four picks last week, if you include the one that sealed the game. And you're like, Nick Chubb is just killing
dudes.
He's right there.
What are you doing? Anyway. But obviously, the way that this ends, Pittsburgh pull it off. They fucking lose their minds to Renegade. They come out. They get the pick at the end of the game. And Big Ben gets the ball in his hand one more time at Heinz Field. Kind of a nice moment. And old mate, she's like, yeah, it's good to see. Good to see him sent off nicely. I'm like, I don't know, he's a bit too rapey for my liking. So
yeah,
I'm not gonna give him a fucking hero send off. But it was at least nice to see him have that moment as he fucks off. So good on you, Ben. Right, we've got like no fucking battery left on my phone, so let's fang through the rest of the show. Yeah, Nas. Usually would be going long, going hard.
Way more along with this.
Titans, they get the number one seed. Gaz, they beat the Texans next week. They get the number one seed. Do they deserve that? And should Vrabel win Coach of the Year? What do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of those conversations, right, that's been really getting around in the last week. It kind of was almost like a lay-down misere 3 or 4 weeks ago that you were expecting Belichick was going to get, you know, Coach of the Year. About what turning this with a rookie, but they've lost so many weapons, and Vrabel just keeps winning and keeps doing shit with less, just keeps making it work. So look up, he's definitely up there. You know, mid-season it was Kingsbury, but then obviously they had a shitty month. But realistically, Vrabel could. I would not be afraid to put money on him.
Yeah. I think LeFleur as well, though. Like, you think about it, it's like the defense isn't, like, wildly amazing. Their special teams is a bit of a shit show. And they've just been good all year, so I don't know. RKC, the most dangerous team in either conference, floating around, Gaz. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah?
Yeah, look, I think listening to one of the podcasts today, and they made a good comment. I think it was The Ringer that they made a good comment that we seem to have found out a lot about Cincy in that game against KC, but we found out absolutely zero about KC because they had won so many games on the trot. It's only a matter of time before, yeah, as you said about one of the teams, about get your shit game out.
Yeah, get your shit game done.
Get your shit game out now. And it wasn't even a shit game. Yeah. They had a chance to win it. It was just fucking Jamar Chase and Joey Burrow just like
literally
just
breaking
the
records.
Ball up in the air. Yeah. So like, look, I think like KC, you've got to be worried, right? Like I wouldn't want to run into, you'd want to go anywhere else except Arrowhead, right? So if you were a wildcard team getting in there, I'd be trying to avoid Arrowhead.
Nice one. Tampa Bay, they lose AB seemingly after losing Godwin. Is it all a bit of a stretch too far now, do you reckon, for them to go back-to-back? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, so one of the things... I was thinking about this week, obviously, because, you know, in case I haven't mentioned it once or twice in this podcast, Jimmy, the Eagles have made the playoffs.
Oh, good.
So we're going to have to take on a division leader, right? A division winner. And it's who would I want to take on? We match up badly against the Cowboys. We don't have the quarterbacks to take... So cornerbacks to outside Slay to really cover, you know, a multi-headed monster. But Tampa Bay can't stop the run, funnily enough, the thing that Eagles are good at, and they've lost a lot of their receiving core and Lenny. So if I wanted to take on someone right now of those division winners, it's probably going to be Tampa Bay.
Nice.
I wouldn't want to take on Arizona if they get, you know, if they get smart. I wouldn't want to take on either of those guys, Rams or Arizona. And I don't want to take on Green Bay. So, look, I think it's it may be too much of a stretch. That said, we do know that the that Green Bay have a habit of shitting the bed when it comes playoff time. So I was about to add that to your coach of the year, their coach of the year comment. And yeah, luckily the coach of the year is voted on before the Super Bowl, so the Packers won't have a chance to fucking drop the divisional, the conference championship.
Love it. Really quickly as well, short guy QB knockdowns, passes that have been slapped down / big guy touchdowns and catches. We saw another one this week with a center getting the fucking ricochet catch. Amazing stuff. I feel like we've seen more knockdowns and slapdowns in the air than any other year this year, Gaz. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah, real quick.
There was something really bizarre about like the stats. Yes, yeah, it fuels it, right? So Dak had something like 4 passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage.
It's crazy.
In like 1/4 or a half, and that was the most of any game ever. And then today, Baker just seems to have like 4 or 5 passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage every week.
Well, so does Big Ben as well, and Big Ben's like 6'5". It's like, it makes no sense anyway.
It's strange, man.
All right. Anyway. Yeah, it's just fucky this year, I reckon. Good bloke of the week. Bloke you want to buy a beer. This one goes to John Madden. We mentioned at the top, like one of those rare moments where all the tributes are actually just warranted. I talked about how like the NFL loves its own myth-making. And the thing is, like, you come out of like the John Madden experience, like no one has anything other than just like amazing shit to talk about the dude, you know, because he was like an icon and seemingly just a fucking wildly, incredibly passionate dude when it came to football. Loved the game, loved everyone who played it, coached it, was involved in it, or even appreciated it. And he made everyone smarter. So kind of gnarly, really sad to see him go. And even though, like, even you sort of think back to the thousands, like when he was sort of playing John Madden karaoke with his commentating, where you're like, okay, yeah. And it's like, you know, that's one of those moments where you go, yeah, commentators get old. We all understand that. I've been through that a bunch of times in the NBA, and I'm happy to call it out. Madden did the same thing. But even then, you sort of still, like, appreciated his passion and shit for it anyway, right? So
some of the stories that have come out are amazing. I think the one of my favorite that I've seen was Steve Young. Has come out and said, my first memory of John Madden was the very first time he met me. He took one look at me and asked me if I combed my hair with a pork chop, that I should take care of my look.
Okay. Great. The other good bloke of the week is Mason Fletcher, Dustin Fletcher's son. Gave the old strut for Cincinnati against Alabama.
The billionaire fucking Conor McGregor strut down the field.
Loved it. Absolutely nailed the punt too, so great to see. Good moment. Old mate, no mates. This one's easy. Gaz?
Yeah. I made the post in our little chat group during the week going, oh, we might even bypass this section because it's so fucking obvious.
It's obviously Eli Manning. Well, he got roasted by Roger Goodell. And if you get roasted by Roger Goodell, you're definitely old mate, no mates, because Roger Goodell has no mates and you just got roasted by mate with the no mates. Kirk Cousins, obviously, old mate, no mates, cost his team a playoff spot. Coach hates him. Teammates hate him. The fans hate him. Kirk Cousins, everyone fucking hates you. But obviously, old mate, no mates is probably going to have to go too. The guy who left a game halfway through it, threw his shit into the crowd, was fucking around in the end zone while the game was going on and nearly got fucking like tackled by security at different points. It was incredible. And was also immediately kicked off the team seemingly after the game. So I think that's a bit of old mate, no mates. What do you reckon?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. That was, I mean, I think the biggest conversation that's happening this week though is clearly the guys are still, I think one of the, there's a little bit of a pushback against the, against Tampa Bay because Arians came out and went, he's no longer a buck. let's move on. I'm not answering any more questions. And then Brady's come out and gone, look, he's obviously, like, we need to be supportive and show some compassion because someone's clearly going through some shit. But a couple of weeks ago, or midway through the season, and when, a couple of weeks ago when we're talking about the whole vax scenario, Arians is going, oh, apart from this, he's been a model citizen. Well, you can't have it both ways, yeah. Right? He can't be a model citizen who's going through some shit and all of a sudden tips over the edge and does something that no one's ever done in the NFL before. And then you kind of didn't see it coming as his fucking coach. So anyway, yeah, I agree. But a couple of extras for me. Joe Judge, what he said. Oh, we've already touched on what he bullshitted in that in his press conference. I highly suggest that you go back and someone go back and listen to it, because a couple of the other bullshit things that he made is that apparently he's been contacted by people who left in free agency going, oh, we wish we were still playing on the job, who were left in free agency for more money, who now ring him and say, oh, I wish I was still playing on the Giants. Fucking bullshit, mate. And the other one is the FedEx fucking field maintenance team. I can't not let this go. You nearly killed my fucking quarterback. Sewerage fluking out on the crowd during the season and now rails collapsing. And their excuse was that the rail was next to the wheelchair section and was not designed to be load-bearing and to take hundreds of pounds worth of human pushing. It's over the fucking tunnel, mate. Of course you're going to have people leaning over it trying to get souvenir. Anyway, fuck FedEx Field off. Fuck the Washington football team off. Get a coach, a quarterback, and a new name, and then we'll see you next year.
Love it. Unpopular opinion of the day. So much has been made about Pittsburgh and them when they play Renegade and how psyched up everybody gets and how gnarly it is. My unpopular opinion of the day, Gaz, is that Renegade fucking sucks. But Renegade is also the Pittsburgh of rock songs, right? Like, it's just there. It's fine. You go there and you go, ah, this is all right. I don't mind it here. And then you fuck off and go, yeah, I've been there. That was all right. So I'm actually okay. I'm in fact actually perfect with Renegade being Pittsburgh's song. I just want it out there that Renegade just fucking sucks balls. It really does. Anyway, I feel like I've got I don't want to like tip my hand, but there's an article that I've been writing for a while about songs and cities and stuff anyway, but Renegade is very perfectly situated in this vibe of being Pittsburgh. Anyway, Australian Spotty, a.k.a. the Australian Playwatch, a.k.a. the Little Aussie Battler of the Week. Gaz, tough one for the Aussies, tell you what, in the playoffs. Jesus. Oh, boy. We've got Sipos, we've got Mayalata, your guys. We might have Mitch Wish. Everybody else, oh, God. Jordan Berry, Dicko, Camo Johnson, Lockie Edwards. Gotsis is probably even further away from the playoffs than the rest of them. Yeah. Like, holy shit. So of our, what is it, like eight, nine sort of Aussies floating around in the NFL, yeah, two confirmed in the playoffs, maybe three. So a bit of a rough one. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's, look, if our boys... If my Eagles Aussies have to carry the heavy lifting for the rest of our country, I'm more than happy for that to happen. I hope that the Big Wish gets in there because fuck, he's too good, right?
Yep, 100%.
Like I would much prefer. And look, when you look at the playoffs, who do you reckon's gonna actually make a game of it? The fucking Niners or the Saints? The Saints are gonna get their ass handed to them by whoever they play against. So look, I hope Wish gets in there this week. But yeah, mate, it's a tough sled for the rest of the boys, right? Like Camo, if he'd stuck with the Eagles, he'd be in the playoffs right now. But unfortunately, he's with the Texans, so that's unfortunate. But look, I think the future's bright. Like if you look at the number of Aussies, particularly coming out of Pro Kick, you know, you talked about Fletcher before. There's a lot of Aussies getting into. In the college leagues now. So we might find a bit of a run in the next couple of years of Aussies punting for NFL teams.
Love it. Outback Takehouse time. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Well, I'm down the bush, Gaz. So me and the little fella just wander out in the fucking backyard with a couple of cricket bats, and as soon as we hear that old kookookaka, bang! Kookaburra wings. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is Antonio Brown should fuck the Bucks off and go straight and sign with the Rams as soon as he's waived. Only at Outback. I want this to happen. Can I get Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. on the same team, Gaz?
That'd be fucking absolutely
all I want.
Nuts.
That's all I want. I love it. All right. Captain Fantasy for this week. I mean,
I don't know if you can hear him in the background, Jimmy, but Oshie agrees.
Oshie's just like, yeah, fuck yeah. Give me some craziness.
Oshie's like, fucking give me some OBJ.
Fire it up.
Fucking fire it up.
Obviously, everybody's weekly shit is pretty much, it's got to be done by this week, I think.
Done.
Everybody across most leagues will be done. Unless you're playing like a weird one where it's like, oh, no, we'll play to week 18, bro. Gallup, obviously, doing his ACL is a bit of a tough one if you had him. Oof. In terms of other players, it's week 18. Like, this is why we don't play to week 18, because you don't know who's going to start. You don't know what's going to happen. So with our daily lineups this week, I sort of just played a bit safe. I just went with Kyler Murray as my QB, because Arizona do need to win this one if they want to stick right at the top and stick it to the Rams. I've got Kamara as one of my running backs, obviously, because same with the Saints, right? They need to win to get through. They're playing Atlanta. They're horrible. Foreman with Tennessee. I think, well, obviously, they need to beat Houston. I think they kick the fuck out of him and he runs them home. AJ Green is a bit of a stack with Kyler. And Pittman for the Colts against the Jags. Jacoby Myers against the hated Dolphins. Same with Hunter Henry as my tight end. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling against Detroit, because I think Green Bay will be basically just rolling him and nobody else out there against Detroit. And the Patriots D against Miami. I think the smackdown is coming. I think we can win that one pretty handily. Who have you got?
Yeah, so it was a bit weird, a bit fucky setting this week, because I don't know if you had the same. It was like 13
games that we could pick from.
So I didn't have DraftKings didn't actually have the Eagles-Dallas game, which is... probably I would have led hard on, because Dallas are going to be playing, as we mentioned earlier, playing hard in the hope that, you know, Rams or Tampa Bay or Arizona or all three drop, because the Eagles game is on Saturday. And Eagles have nothing to play for. So I reckon the if you can, as it gets closer to the game, ride that Dallas D. Right, Dallas offense, sorry.
You love that.
Ride D. That Dallas D. No, but on, for the ones that I did have available, Josh Allen, Buffalo are going to try and secure that division, have a bunch to play for, because they're playing, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the Buffalo game is at the same time as the Patriots game. You guys are both playing 8:25, yeah. I think. So they will have a lot to play for in playing the Jets. I've got Dylan, because I could get him quite cheap for what he's being put as a goal line guy, running up the stats, wasn't too expensive compared to Jones. Antonio, I've lent hard on the Giants-Washington game, because the fucking Giants' defense is fucking terrible, right? So I've gone with Antonio Gibson, who'll be back off the COVID list, Terry McLaurin, and the Washington defense, because the Giants... fucking Glennon's not playing, but they've been just throwing picks all around the place and can't put up TDs. So lent hard on that game. Outside that, I've gone Pittman as well, because he's playing the Jags, so why the fuck wouldn't you? Arizona, I've lent a bit on that game as well, because they're playing Seattle. So I've got Christian Kirk, and Zach Ertz has quickly become the safety blanket for Kyler. So leaning on that, and I think that'll go all right.
Love it. All right, our fantasy league update, aka the end of the year. Boom! It's all over. The NFL Australia Legends League Fantasy came to an absolute belter of a fucking finale, guys, with our man Colin, the last dance, beating our dude Zach, mixing it with the best. The craziest part was they were the 3 and 4 seeds, having, yeah, I believe, taken out the 1 and 2 seeds the week prior, which were, I think, Brett. And, oh, fuck, who was Rogers that? That's, I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll find that out as we talk it out. But I think it was, who was Rogers that? Rogers that was Tavis. Oh, fuck. So we had Tavis up against, so Tavis gets beat. Brett gets beat, I believe. And we end up with Colin as the champion. Absolute fucking scenes. I mean, you love to see it. So Colin, I think I'll have to send him a t-shirt for NBA Australia. because we don't have NFL Australia merch yet, so I think Colin will be all right with that.
Well, that's an off-season project. And we feel it should get him a little trophy or something.
There might be something. It'll be like a... But just having the respect of this insane league all year is actually fucking gnarly. So huge congrats go to Colin for taking it out. And like, the fact that the two lower seeds got through was awesome. You love to see that. So Rogers that and Philly Special. But the fact that I think 1-4 last week was really, 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 really close. I don't think we talked that up enough last week, but the last, like Colin getting through as a 4 seed and then winning is just fucking gnarly.
Against the
Philly
Special who killed it all fucking year, right?
Yeah. So great vibes, great scene, awesome fucking league all year. Everybody, I think, was like wildly involved. As we've talked about, like up and down the year, like it was super fucking competitive. Everybody was really fucking good. So really enjoyed
and we
that.
We started a chat group and a bit of there was a bit of banter going on. So everyone, you know, giving a bit of shit. And that's what you want, the involvement. You don't want a fantasy league that you show up on a Friday and fucking sit your team before the first game. And that's, you know, that's fucking all you do, right? It's all about banter and giving people shit. On that topic, speaking about giving people shit, how was that transition? Our fucking mate and fucking shit giver extraordinaire and king troll of NFL Australia, Brad McKeegan. Fucking, he made a smart ass thing and picked up, after me talking about the legend of Big Dick Nick last week, he picked up Big Dick Nick and he's playing me in like a shitty consolation game that means nothing. But set him in his lineup as a joke and forgot to change him. So Big Dick Nick put up 0 points. Guess how many points he lost by, Jimmy?
Ooh.
Like four and a half points? If he'd started any quarterback. Mate, he could have started fucking, like, I don't know. He could have started the Red Rifle, for example. He could have picked him up. He would have won. He could have started fucking anyone. He could have started Tua, who had a shitful game, and he still would have won. Anyway, God bless you, Brad McKeegan. Stay with this league and give us shit because it's working well.
But awesome, like, right. Like seriously, like that league was great all season. Oh,
so good, so much.
Massive
fun.
Congrats to obviously Colin for winning, Zach to make it through to the final, and obviously Tavis and Brett who just fucking dominated all year, and like to make it to the top four of that league was pretty fucking special. So well done. Right, week 18 preview and picks though, Gaz. Let's do it. Oof. You ready? Because both of us...
It scares the shit out of me, Jimmy. I don't like this week at all. I don't like it at all.
We went 8-8, both of us, last week. So I'm still 3 beers up on you for this this season. You owe me 3 beers.
Which is fucking weird. As you mentioned pre-game, we have a bit of a banter before we start recording. And it was weird because we literally had 5 different picks last week and still ended up 5 or more?
Would have been
I still ended up on 8-8.
I reckon so it would have been 6 because we would have split it, right? So...
Yeah. So we had different picks and yet we still ended up on the same thing because we just didn't get them the same right. So this me picking this week has been a bit shitful because I've got to catch up. So even when I agree with Jimmy, I've got to work out which ones I agree with him slightly less than the other ones that I agree with him. So try and pin a couple back.
Yeah, this is weird. So in terms of like all the... So you got 2 Saturday night games, right? So we've got KC at Denver and got Dallas at Philly. In the first game, we're both going KC minus 10, I think. We both understand that the Chiefs are going to go out and like try to smash Denver and just like give themselves the best chance of like if Tennessee fall over, up they go. Obviously, Dallas, Philly, though, I've gone Philly +7. You've gone with Dallas because you know that Dallas have to play for something, right?
Correct. And that's literally it. And so there is an expectation. So McCarthy's come out and said, yes, we're playing everyone because we want to beat Philly and they want to pitch for that number 2 spot. And Philly have nothing to play for. So I seriously expect Minshew to go in. Miles, they're not going to, even if he's ready, he's not going to come until the playoffs. I've actually, Jimmy, you know that I'm not a betting man. I've put money on Dallas at a 7-point line because I think before this game, when the announcements come out, that line's going to increase to about 10, 12 points.
Wow.
Because we're going to rest everyone.
Sure. Hey, look, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think that it's like also one of those weird ones where Philly just sort of come out and give a good account of themselves and cover at the very end. And suddenly it's like only like a 3-point or 4-point win out of fucking nowhere. So
also, Jimmy, in case you hadn't noticed, We love a backup quarterback in Philly. Minshew coming in place of Hurts.
Let's go, Minshew.
And then putting up like five TDs.
To beat the Cowboys would be amazing.
Let's go.
Yeah. So, Sunday's games, we've got New England, my beloved Patriots, playing Miami. Always a tricky one when it was Tom Brady. We've already lost to Miami this year in the first game of the season. And here we are, basically needing to win this and for the Bills to stuff up against the Jets. For the Pats to have a chance, I'm going the Pats to smash Miami in a bit of a revenge. There is the inkling, though, in the back of my head that Belichick just goes, look, fuck it, we're better on the road anyway. Who gives a shit where we are in terms of seeding, whatever. But I still think they go for the win and kill them because Miami got nothing to play for at this point, so fuck it. Give me the Pats minus seven. You've got Miami.
Yeah. I think that you guys are going to assume that, you know, Buffalo won the tiebreaker on you. You're playing at the same time. They're playing the Jets. They're going to kick the shit out of them. You are not going to win the division. Miami got... You guys smashed a really shit team this week after your defense going missing for a couple of weeks. And Miami kind of got embarrassed. So I reckon they're just playing for pride and could be playing a bit of the spoiler role. So I think you'll still win. I just think it'll be under, you know, it'll be like 3-4 points.
Yeah, I don't argue with that either. Like, I feel like Tua's like out there going, please, please, please don't bring in fucking Deshaun Watson. Please.
Yeah.
Like, please,
he's playing for his job.
Please let me keep my job, sir. Cincy go to Cleveland. We both picked Cincy because Cleveland are done and Cincy, if they win out, they're going to feel good about things. They could probably rest some of their dudes, but at the same time, they've still got seeding to play for. So if you win out, you're probably feeling good about stuff. Green Bay.
If you watched any of today's game,
you're not picking
Cleveland offense.
Fuck no.
And think that getting 2.5 points is you'd take it every day.
See ya. Detroit hosts Green Bay. Detroit need to actually lose this game. So even though Green Bay will be playing nobody probably, Detroit will still somehow manage to lose this. So Green Bay by 2.5. That's where we both landed. Chicago go to Minnesota. You've got Minnesota minus 2.5. I've gone Chicago. I think this is Nagy's just like fucking swan song of just absolutely fucking killing every Bears fan worldwide and somehow winning this. Whereas Zimmer tries his hardest to win this game and still loses it, which is the swan song for Zimmer in Minnesota. And I think that's just how it works out, Gaz. That's how it goes.
I've just got this feeling that that old mate of the show, Kirk Cousins, is, I'm just going to refer to him as that going forward, is going to come back off the list. And even though they're knocked out, play for some false pride thing that he's going to do and shoots the lights out when it means fuck all, right? I just, this fucking weird thing that, for God knows whatever reason.
I think Chicago are going to be hilarious when they fuck that up. Giants host Washington. We've both gone Washington minus 6.5 because that game is the worst. Fuck it. Indy, they play the Jags. They need to win this to stay in. So we've both gone Indy minus 15.5. The Jags have shown us absolutely nothing. It's a lot of points, but you feel wildly confident, right? Because as soon as they get up 3 touchdowns, they just run the ball the rest of the way and they'll probably end up winning by 30. So,
You still don't think that they get, like, that's that thing, right? Like, you're just going to give it to
Jonathan Taylor and just fucking kill him.
Give it to Taylor all fucking game to get up.
Yep.
And then once you're up, just run the fucking
ball.
Keep going.
Right? Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh. We've both gone Baltimore, which I thought was interesting. I wasn't sure about this one. This was probably one of the tricky ones this week. Ravens against the Steelers at home. Big Ben's final game as a Steeler. Pittsburgh can still make the playoffs, and so can Baltimore, right? Like, if Indy lose, and then I think if the Raiders beat the Chargers, then whoever wins this game could probably still somehow sneak in. I think it's more likely to be Pittsburgh, right, because they've got a better record. So, a bit tricky, but we've both gone Baltimore just because I can't trust Pittsburgh to win, like, important games in a row.
I to be honest, this game is definitely a coin toss for me. Both have a lot to play for. just the Baltimore is just so beat up. It's just so, you can't trust that defense because they're at, you know, fifth stringers by this point. But also, as you said, Pittsburgh can't get the ball down the field. It's literally Najee, and that's about it. And Claypool trying to make 15 circus catches a fucking game, and that's about it. And you just don't know who's gonna come up trumps. I think it's gonna be fuck. And also, these divisional matchups. There's some ridiculous stat about the amount of games in a row between Baltimore and Pittsburgh that'll be decided under a touchdown. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, who the fuck knows? So I literally went for the home team.
Nice one. I feel you. Tennessee, they go to Houston. I've gone Tennessee -10.5. You've actually gone Houston. I think the Titans lay a smackdown on the Texans in Houston just because the Titans are going to be like, run through the tape. Like Vrabel's not going to be like, oh, we're going to eke this out. At the same time, I can see Tennessee somehow shitting the bed and almost losing this, but I think this is the one week where they come out on top and actually smash it. So I've gone the -10.5.
I just think I think once the game's safe, you could see them like just kind of grind it out, right? So I feel like Houston could keep it close enough. It was the points for me that got this one.
Sure.
Anyway.
That's right. Atlanta, they host New Orleans. This is a game that I've actually been to before, which is hilarious. We were in Atlanta, saw the Saints come in. One of the most fun fucking experiences of my life. Both fan bases insane. In terms of just like the fucking fans there in Atlanta, it's awesome. I've gone the Saints -4.5 because I just can't trust Atlanta. I just can't. Like, I don't like the Saints. I don't think they're very good. And I think Atlanta should probably win this in a shootout, but the Saints, I just got to get it. I think they can win this. I think it's going to be a massive spoiler for Atlanta's year, and it's going to be funny as hell. So I've gone the Saints -4.5. You've got Atlanta.
There's a couple of things in this for me. I think that this is probably going to be Matty Ice's last game at home. I could see him moving on. As I said, he'll go to a... He's a medium quarterback now, kind of middle... So he can go to a contender. They're basically rebuild mode. So they need to go out and get someone new. Last game at home. The defense for New Orleans is fucking great, but that offense was just shit this week against Panthers. So I think they can keep it close. Hopefully Atlanta will, you know, give it to Cordarrelle and what. Like, they put up 15 points against Buffalo, but... I just think Atlanta trying to send Matty Ice off in a right way and play spoiler against New Orleans.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those ones that I changed later in the week, and I just don't know about it at the moment. But Buffalo, they host the Jets. I've gone the Jets +16.5. It's too many points. The Jets are actually pretty frisky. They're going to be like, yep, fuck it, let's screw over the Bills. That'd be funny. So I've gone Jets. You've gone Buffalo.
Yeah, look, that obviously the points, 16.5 points is fucking, any double jet point scares the crap out of me. But realistically, they are playing at the same time as you guys, and they will be trying to make sure that they win that division and get that home ground advantage. So, look, I'm definitely going to go Buffalo to come out and try and tear the arsehole out of the New York Jets.
Love it. Rams, they host the Niners. We've both gone the Rams -5. It's a tough one, but it's just the Niners are just not quite there. And if, like, Jimmy G's not there, I think the Rams, even pulling one out of their ass against the Ravens this week, I think they have enough to beat them by more than 5, so... And this is like one of those, McVay and Shanahan hate each other, or they're best mates, but they hate each other, right?
Yeah. It's going to be an interestingly good game. This whole division gets a little bit fucky when they all play each other. Like, who you think is going to win? They've all got the wood over each other. But, with a lot to play for, I know the Niners need to win. But I just don't think they'll get over the Rams. The difference thing for me is can they make it more than 5?
Yep. It's a tough one. Arizona, they host Seattle. We've both gone the Cards -6.5 because they've got a win to give themselves a chance at the seeding. So good on them. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory, right? Like Seattle.
I think this week was they played a decent opponent. It was maybe a righting of the ship. Let's hope. And
there they go.
Yeah, I think that's okay, Room.
Tampa Bay, they host Carolina. We've both gone Tampa Bay -8. I think after the AB shit, someone's going to pay, and it's going to be the Panthers. So,
and they literally have, like, watching that game, I'm like, there's no offense for Carolina.
Exactly. Like, it's
Chuba Hubbard did some stuff, but, you know, down the field, they've got some receivers and they've got no quarterback who can get them the ball. So, anyway, I think Tampa Bay stomped the shit out of them.
But then the banner game. The banner game. The game, the loser goes home match. The winner goes to the playoffs. Chargers at Raiders. We're both on the Chargers -3. This is awesome. Juzzy Herbs versus Derek Carr. The Raiders, the year from fucking hell. The Chargers just up and down all season. I've got to put my faith in the Chargers. I love my Juzzy Herbs. You know that. Let's go Chargers. -3. Fuck yes. Run through the tape. Get into the playoffs. See how they go. One and done. That very much feels like this Chargers season. And it feels very much like the Raiders have already proven their point. It's like, we didn't roll over completely. We almost made the playoffs. And then we fell apart right at the end. So give me the Chargers.
Yeah, look, I agree. This was a tough one for me because both teams have been, every time we review each team this week, we're like, this year, we're like, we don't know what the fuck to think about these teams. They've just been a perennial question mark. Whereas, I just think that the weapons on the Chargers, the raw talent there, if they can put it together, and if they run through Eckler, sometimes the Raiders forget they've got Jacobs. It's fucking weird. Like the Browns forgetting they've got Chubb.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fucking weird. Anyway, so look, I think the Chargers can squeak this out and hopefully make it to, because it'll be a much more interesting postseason with the Chargers in there than the Raiders.
Fuck,
so there's
yeah.
a little bit of that I like as well.
Yep, I love that. They're much more of the puncher's chance. Holy shit. How do they make, like, the AFC title game?
Yeah.
Love it. All right, that's it. Holy shit, we've done it, Gaz. Week 17.
Wow.
It feels like we may have finished the season, but we're not. We're not done. That's all right. We'll be back to wrap up the last week of the regular season, week 18, and set you up for the playoffs next week. Obviously, we are always weekly with this dumb shittery. And I'll tell you what. I love doing regular season to NFL Australia's, but Jesus, the playoffs are really where we shine, because Gaz and I get to fucking nut down on just some games, and it's awesome. But either way, it's the most fun. It's the best time of the year, isn't it? You got lots of games all happening. You've got actual fucking stakes. It's the best. Either way, we're weekly with this dumb shittery. That's what we do. Check us if you can follow on the old Facey, Twitter, IGs. Rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever you're using. Big thanks go to fucking the old mates at House Hats. They're the best. I love them. The intro and outro song, go check out their album. We've got the dailyliquor.com. If you go banging the code STRAY there, if you're in Melbourne, you get a free six-pack on your mates Gaz and Jimmy. Just saying, it's the best. Bring the bottle over to you at the dailyliquor.com. Don't go to the fucking bottle and get Rona. What are you doing? That's weird. So I've got NBA Australia. We're still doing daily shows as of next week. I'm on my holiday fucking period at the moment, just chilling. Not Ellen. Two shows a week. What can I say? But daily as of again next week. So, Gaz, what do you got to plug?
Mate, it's record season. As in, like, it's the part of the season where everyone's setting records. We've just seen that. It's, you know, and I just like to say that we may set the record today for the longest NFL Australia episode ever, because this is, yeah, it's approaching it. But I told them I'd do it on Monday yesterday. No, I just give a shout out to the Packers fans, the Packers group. They're fucking, mate, I don't know any individual team group in NFL who would draw an attendance like those guys did at just a regular season game. That was fucking great. They're doing a good job. And once I posted photos, I've already had some Eagles guys go, Gaz, can you start one of those things? So, fuck, I might. If you want to listen to me rant about Eagles, then fucking, there could be a group coming up for Melbourne people. That's about it. Jimmy, I'm done.
Awesome. All right. Well, holy shit. One more week to go, Gaz. I can't believe that we've gotten through an entire regular season. It barely feels like the fucking season started, I'll tell you that much. And we've still got no handle on Denver or the Chargers. Yeah. And what are you going to do? We're going to finish the season. One of them's going to be in the fucking playoffs. Denver, yep. The Raiders, the Chargers. You're going to have two of those teams in the fucking playoffs.
Yep.
Well, one of those teams, rather. There you go. All right. Either way, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yas.
Lederhosen. I've been broken. I've been stripped. The flesh is dripping from my bones. And I don't know how I am gonna do.
there.